Welcome to the Seth Gruber Show today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Kirk Cameron back on the show today. We're here at the Culture and Christianity Conference for Pastor Alan Jackson here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville. I call Pastor Alan the Jack Hibbs of Tennessee, and I think the Tennesseans call him the Jack Hibbs of, Jack Hibbs, the Alan Jackson of Tennessee. Warriors. And it's so good to be here. Just shared the stage with my friend, Kirk Cameron, and we're just going to chat for a little bit, but Kirk, you just gave an incredible talk today, pulled in theology, history, stories, and it was so inspirational, and you've been thinking so deeply about this stuff.
Thinking.
So I want to talk about it all, but bro, you're a Christian nationalist, I've heard, and a domestic terrorist, and you've been reading these books to kids, rather than people in men in lingerie reading books to them, and apparently you're very dangerous.
Yes, you know, the way you phrase things, Seth, that gets us in trouble. You know, yeah, men in dresses reading to children is, I think, always a red flag. But we also understand, even as Christians, that we've got to get to our children. And that's not just a cliche. It is what the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We've got to read stories to our kids. We've got to teach them the ways of God, right and wrong, from when they're little, when they walk along the way, when they go to sleep. And if we don't, other people do. And I think that's what's happening.
Wow.
I see people waking up and saying, what happened to my culture? My kids grew up in a Christian house and now they believe all this crazy stuff about gender, and they're picking their pronouns, and they think that the bad guys are the good guys and the good guys are the bad guys. Well, I think that when we outsource parenting through a government school system, even with the best intentions as Christian parents, they took our strategy. They picked up our book and they ran the plays better than we did us pay for it.
That's right.
With our tax dollars.
Well said.
So I think
it's the Great Commission flipped upside down.
Yeah, that's right. And, think of it. I think of it as like a football team. If one team had the greatest plays in the world in their playbook, but the other team stole the playbook and ran the plays better than these guys ran the plays, they could win. And I see the culture doing that with our kids.
Yeah. So Kirk, we talk about these kind of things, right? We say like these, I call them diddle the kids, pedophilic leaning revolutionaries on the left. But like we talk about what's happening in the schools. I think some people don't believe it. In fact, there's actually been some polling on this. Like there are people who do not believe that some of this stuff is actually happening, like pornographic cartoons in the sex ed in the school library, pornographic books, gender theory, drawings of how to do all these sexual acts in the books and the school. Some people actually don't believe it. You start bringing in just good values-based, honorable teachings, communicating stories, and they lose their minds at the libraries. Can you give us some examples of how
the librarians lose their minds?
Some of this stuff is.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. So look, evangelism and discipleship, I think it's inescapable. And if the church doesn't evangelize with the gospel and disciple kids at the truth, there will be other godless people who will evangelize your children into their secular humanist worldview and disciple them with their standards of right and wrong.
Yep.
When I went to public libraries, these aren't private, atheist, satanic libraries. These are just public community libraries funded by moms and dads and grandparents to read a book about faith, hope, and love. There were over 50 woke libraries that denied access to me with excuses like, our values don't line up with yours. You're not an author of color. We're focusing on authors of color this month. Or we're an inclusive society, so we don't think that you belong here.
That sounds exclusive to me.
So we just flipped the rhetoric upside down and said, wait a minute, I thought the rules we just we're told to obey is the DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. I think you could use some diversity in your LGBTQ dominated library by bringing a guy like me in with a different story.
Yep.
And you should treat me equitably and include me so that you guys aren't just a monoculture delivering propaganda and telling your children what to think instead of teaching them how to think.
Yep.
But they said, no, we whipped out the Constitution. They changed course. And we were greeted by thousands of grandparents and children at the public libraries.
Wow.
And that really propelled us, us meaning me and my friends at Brave Books, to go after the head of the snake, which is Scholastic Books. We can talk about that if you want. And to get into children's television shows. And we've now created something that we are hoping is going to be our generation's version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yep.
It's a show called Adventures with Iggy and Mr. Kirk.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I play Mr. Kirk.
Well,
Iggy's an iguana.
I've been reading some of the Kirk Cameron Brave books to my kids.
Okay.
And
are they good?
Yeah, we've been having a ton of fun with it. We were reading the Elizabeth Johnston one.
Okay, yeah. There's so many authors within there.
With the pro-life theme and I forgot what it's called, but Little Lives Matter.
Little Lives Matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Two of my other favorites. One is Elephants Are Not Birds. That's a little book teaching children about gender reality.
Yeah, yeah.
And then another one called The Island of Free Ice Cream about a warning about the dangers of socialism.
Good, good. Yep, that was a good one. Talk to us about the agenda of Scholastic Books these days.
So,
because we all remember Scholastic growing up.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Who brings book fairs to your school? Who publishes The Mouse and the Motorcycle, James and the Giant Peach, Clifford the Big Red Dog, Stuart Little? These are all great books. Yeah. Well, who's publishing the pornographic books that are being given to elementary and middle school children, teaching them how to inject themselves with hormones, a literal manual with diagrams, with scars where breasts and genitalia has been removed, and close off good alcohol, Lord, underage sex, drawings and explicit descriptions in books like Welcome to Saint Hell, My Trans Teen Misadventure. Other books for little kids, jeez, leading them down a road to explore drag. Kids are more likely to come home seriously with a book from their library about some gay dinosaurs or a duck with two dads than they are to come home with something about kindness, honesty, and courage.
Yep.
So we went after Scholastic. We outed them. We showed parents what is in these books, and I didn't believe it either.
Wow.
Until we ordered them off of Amazon, and I held the books in my hand, and I went through them, and it's right there. It's shocking. And we created with some friends a nonprofit alternative to Scholastic called Skytree Book Fairs.
Wonderful.
Skytree Book Fairs. And we now give schools and libraries the opportunity to cancel their contract with Scholastic.
Wow.
Switch over to something.
So you're not just
positive, complaining
about the culture of death?
No.
Kirk, you're doing something about it?
We want to win the culture because the culture belongs to us, but it's gonna be in the hands of those who want it the most.
Yeah.
And if Christians don't want the culture, if they just like complaining about it because it gives them something to whine about, it gives them an enemy to beat on.
Yeah.
I think you've missed the concept of the cultural mandate Commission.
Talk about the cultural mandate and what have we lost, Kirk? Why are so many believers in America today? I just did a whole podcast on the cultural mandate. That's why I want to hear the Kirk Cameron take on it. But what is it about Christians in America today who have no gusto or zeal or passion to build things for the Lord?
Well,
what have we missed?
Yeah. And so Seth, I got to be careful. I don't want to judge people's motives or their hearts or the sincerity of their faith because I have bad days. I have bad weeks. I get into a funk and a rut in a season where I'm discouraged or I'm in pain or I'm just
totally.
But I do find that some of the reasons people are pessimistic and apathetic or maybe complacent and not engaged with the culture is it's a lot of hard work to redeem a culture. Mm. I mean, we're talking about the hard work of not just having Bible studies, but evangelism, discipleship, training your children outside of a government school system that wants to destroy their Christian faith. And then what about filling the halls of local government, state, and national government? What about taking back entertainment and the arts, music, storytelling, TV shows, movie making? And then what about all of education? I mean,
to the uttermost.
Go with all the other institutions that we need to take back. The medical mafia has destroyed our trust in doctors and medical institutions. The military, the justice system. That's a ton of work to recapture that. And for some, it actually justifies taking an easier road. It appeals to our human nature to say either it's too much work. What can I do? And I've got family members and friends who do that. They're like, you know what? What can I do? I'm one guy. I'm not in charge. And so until I'm in charge, I can't do anything. Well, that's wrong. Yep. You are in charge. I said this earlier, God unleashed the most powerful world-changing force 2,000 years ago when he created the self-governing Christian. So now that Christ has risen from the grave and the Holy Spirit is available to inhabit you, you now have a power against which the forces of darkness and hell cannot prevail.
Yep.
And you get in partnership with a bunch of other self-governing Christians armed with the word of God, you will take down institutions and rebuild them to form a culture that doesn't dominate you, but that you get to shape according to the truth.
Woo.
I mean, that's the plan. It always has been the plan. Bro. But we're just pushed so far back into our one yard line.
Well, why is that our commandment,
though?
Why
should, of a task.
Why should we be doing that? Where does the Bible tell us to do that? to take dominion and to take back ground and to build and to tear down false ideologies and to raise up a godly standard. That just sounds like Kirk Cameron talking. Are you sure that's biblical, bro?
Yeah, of course it is, right? I mean, in all those phrases you just said are summaries of and condensations of scripture verses. So I think you mentioned Christian nationalism earlier. I don't know. What do I think about that? And you said the word subdue or take dominion. All that sounds very aggressive. All that sounds very militant or very nationalistic or something. I can't think of anything more nourishing for a child than to be in a Christian home. I can't think of anything that is more safe and more blessed than for a woman and a man to be in a Christian marriage. A Christian hospital should be characterized by nuns and good Christians and Mother Teresa's and Billy Graham's who just love people and want to share the gospel and heal physical and spiritual hurts, right? So then a Christian nation is what our founding fathers and certainly our forefathers and mothers had in mind, which would be a nation that would promote the flourishing of all human beings, whether you were a Christian or not, by basing its principles in ways that would lead to the restriction of evil and government tyranny power and the maximum opportunity for people to love God and care for others without being told what to do.
Yep.
That's the kind of nation that I'm proud to be a part of and that I want to further.
So the cultural mandate says to be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
Fill the earth and subdue it.
Yeah.
That commandment is repeated again after the fall. Therefore, proving that this commandment holds and still stands.
That's right.
Both before the fall and after the fall.
Yeah.
What does it mean to fill the earth and subdue it? Well, it means get married and have babies. And when you have babies,
amen.
And then they have babies, well, now you kind of got a little village. Now a lot of people are having babies, Kirk. So now it's got to be a city. Well, now the city's a county. And now the county's kind of a state or a mini civilization. We probably need like a school or like a hospital. Yeah. We might need some laws because we're filling the earth and subduing it. We kind of need some institutions, some laws, some policies,
police, some law
standards,
enforcement.
Some law enforcement. Because we're being obedient to this fill the earth, subdue it thing. And there's things that come along with that as you do that. So who were the first people told to fulfill this mandate of building civilization, crafting the policies and the laws, raising up a godly standard? The first humans repeated to Abraham, therefore our commandment is well today.
Absolutely. Well said. And you can throw Noah in there too.
There you go.
After God's great reset of the flood, here's Noah, another man, a type of Adam in a garden with his wife, told to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then he's given the added tool of civil government to help put a check on evil. Because, you know, Noah had just come out of this time where men were only evil always, continually. And by the way, can you imagine how bad that must have been? Think about how old were people living prior to the flood?
The first Seth, my namesake, lived over 900 years old.
Okay, so imagine if the thoughts of Seth were only evil continually for 900 years of him perfecting the art of wickedness. Yep. What would have happened if God hadn't flooded the earth? I'm speculating now, but perhaps it would have led to extinction of the human race. We would have had Jeffrey Dahmer's on steroids living hundreds of years to perfect the art of killing one another.
Yeah, yeah.
So the flood, I think, in a fun theological way, is not only a judgment of God, but a great mercy of God to put a period to the evil and to start fresh with a new husband and wife. But you're right. That dominion mandate, that cultural mandate to fill the earth for the glory of God it still holds today. And I see it right there in Jesus's prayer. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the Great Commission, go therefore and disciple all nations. Yes. I don't think personally, Matthew Henry says this, an early commentator of the New Testament, says that doesn't just mean go pluck individuals out of nations and make them individual disciples. Matthew Henry said, it's not so much go and make disciples of all nations in that sense, as much as it is go and disciple all nations, meaning make them Christian nations, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, says Jesus.
Yep.
So that sounds to me like filling the earth and teaching people to love God and love their neighbor. And in doing so, we will govern it in such a way that leads to human flourishing.
Yep. Amen.
Am I off base here?
Well, I was just thinking as you were spitting fire, Kirk, I was thinking about how Russell Moore was urinating his pants because you're just a dominionist, theocrat, Christian nationalist. I mean, we joke about this stuff, but like what you said was just so historically true and accurate, biblically rich, and gospel-centered. You've not abused the word of God whatsoever in your application of the duty and role of the church. And yet the division in the church right now, what Vody Bachum called the fault lines, Kirk, years ago, boy, have those fault lines gotten big in the last few years, it's heartbreaking and it's sad, but it's also very telling of where our culture is. Russell Moore, who led the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, arm of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yep, I remember.
He's now the editor-in-chief of Christianity Yesterday. And a lot of our sort of evangelical leaders who for a long time were looked to as really stalwart defenders of the word of God have been caving like a cheap suit. And he's in a new film by Rob Reiner called God and Country, smearing believers as Christian nationalists, whatever the heck that means. If you celebrate the overturning of Roe or you don't want gender theory in the classrooms or you're a Christian and you love God first, but you also love your country because love of country is an extension of filial piety and you want to create good civilizations that are safe for the next generation, that you're a Christian nationalist and the greatest threat to freedom and democracy. That was according to Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary for Biden. It's like, whoa. And we have Christian leaders caving on that, smearing their brothers in Christ who just articulated what you articulated so beautifully. What do you feel about the division in the church right now? And what do you think families and people ought to be doing?
We'd like to thank our friends today at Every Life Diaper Company for sponsoring The Seth Gruber Show. Every Life Diaper is America's pro-life diaper company. It's really quite simple, okay? What you give your money to, you get more of, okay? So if you give money to pro-abortion, Marxist, anti-family like companies, guess what? You get more of that kind of junk, okay? So every major diaper company in America rhetorically or financially supports the abortion industry. So the baby industry that profits off of conservatives because conservatives have more babies than non-conservative pro-lifers, we're funding the pro-abortion diaper company that then uses that money to stand for killing the babies in the womb whose lives they profit off of by selling them diapers if they make it out of the womb alive. Can't make this stuff up. Help us rebuild a culture of life by defunding a culture of death. Fight with your wallet by supporting our sponsor at Every Life Diaper, everylife.com, the only pro-life diaper company in America. Me and my wife use it. Your nursery at your church should be using it. Your local pregnancy resource center should be using it. And your nieces, nephews, cousins, aunts, uncles, and grandkids should be using it as well. Everylife.com, promo code Seth10. That's Seth10 for 10% off your first order. Everylife.com, promo code Seth10.
Yeah.
Not to load too much on you.
Yeah. I doesn't it feel like we're reading about some other country? Doesn't it sound like
absolutely.
Like we're hearing stories of what's going on in England or somewhere else in Europe, but it's happening here in the United States of America. And so I think we can learn from what's gone on in Europe and in through history. And you see how the dominoes begin to fall. You talked about this. Once you begin to justify the killing of innocent babies, then you have effectively, if you've become okay with that, what else is going to wake you up? You've really kind of seared your conscience to the point where you're insensitive now to bad stuff. And if you have to, you know, basically sort of apologize for the Bible or hide it so that you can get along with the rich, powerful people, the influential people in your circles, you're like, what's that movie? You know, like it's the movies where people get possessed, right? By some crazy monster, whether it's Alien or whether it's a Maze Runner where the guy, they turn all crazy blue and freaked out all inside. I feel like you put this away. This is the antidote. This is the inoculation to crazy pagan, barbaric, animalistic psychoness.
Yeah.
Because it rescues you from the cravings of the human flesh, which are self-serving, and there's no limit to the depths to which
That's right.
People will go to satisfy what they so desperately want.
Yep.
And that's how you get Hitlers. That's how you get Stalins and Mao's and Margaret Sangers. And I'm scared to think of where some of these evangelicals are headed when they start apologizing for the Bible rather than standing on its truth.
Yeah, amen. What is Kirk Cameron doing this June? I assume Brave Books has you busy during Pride Month.
You know, this June is the month when every summer my family and I host a camp for terminally ill children and their families called Camp Firefly. So we take 2 weeks out of the year and we bring six families who are in the midst of dealing with chemotherapy and blood transfusions and bone marrow transplants, and give them an all expense paid week-long vacation with mom and dad and siblings and kids, all together in an intimate setting where we can just talk about life, faith, and give them memories that will last them a lifetime.
Wow.
That's what I'm doing in June. I'm not planning to be in San Francisco downtown library reading Pride Comes Before the Fall this year.
Well, tell us about that book. Isn't that one of your books?
Yeah.
Pride Comes Before. As we wind down here, brother, I want Kirk Cameron's thoughts on why pride. Why is the LGBTQ LMNOPIA, my name is Legion, revolutionaries? Why do they, of all the vices, why do they label it Pride Month?
Yeah. Well, I think you've probably got a well thought through answer on this, but from where I've sat the last year, I think that's why the Bible warns about pride right there at the top of the list of the seven deadly sins. I think pride is what we're most susceptible to, and it is the mother that gives birth to all of these other wicked sins of wrath, of lust, of envy.
The queen of all vices.
Yeah.
And now seemingly the vice of all queens.
Yeah.
Drag queens.
Drag queens. So it's all about me and I'm here and let's cheer and and this is awesome. And it's interesting that we as Christians are to be down with pride. Now I understand the good kind of pride when we're talking about, man, I'm so grateful for all the good in you, the good that I see happening in you, the things that God has done in your life. And
that's
I'm
why the
excited
Bible says let other men praise you.
We understand that. You know, I'm so proud of my wife. I'm so proud of my kids. I'm so thankful is what I mean, and excited about all that God is doing through them. And so the book that I wrote was really not an attack on the LGBTQIA LMNOP I Am Legion acronym, but an exaltation of the virtue of humility and saying to, hey, kids, you're hearing about pride all day long.
Yeah.
What we want to go for is humility. That's where it's out. Down with pride, up with humility. And that's putting others before ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. What a simple solution, man. Where can people get Kirk Cameron Brave Books for their school or their church or their kids?
You can get Brave Books at bravebooks.com. What I'd love for you to do is if you go to watchbrave.com, you can see the trailer for a brand new children's television program that we're doing together, which essentially, this is really cool, Seth. So we want to make our generation's version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Now, 5 years ago, I would have thought that sounds so corny. I don't want to do that. But things have gotten so far into wickedness and immorality and the, you know, diddling and the pedophilia and the grooming that, my God, we need Mr. Rogers again. Like we need, you know, George Washington again. Yeah, like we need somebody to come along and help children understand right from wrong. And so we're making a show that's called The Adventures of Iggy and Mr. Kirk. Iggy's a cute, adorable little green iguana. We've got a legendary puppeteer from Jim Henson's Muppets and Sesame Street.
No way.
And we've got a vulture named Culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Who tries to always make bad things happen to Iggy. And I'm Mr. Kirk, bringing in the biblical, moral, timeless lessons. I don't have a wool cardigan sweater, but I do have a leather jacket. And at the end of every episode, I bless the kids as I put them to sleep with, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yep. Lift up his countenance to you and give you peace.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're hoping this is going to be a staple, maybe for decades. And a generation of children will be able to grow up hearing this, developing their character, and give parents a little help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't parents need a little of encouragement in these days?
Totally.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you could check that out at watchbrave.com. So we're filming the first 20 episodes and we're trying to offer it for free to everybody.
Awesome.
Coming this November.
Watchbrave.com. Kirk, so proud of you. Pride. Very, very proud of you. Grateful for you, man. Thank you for leading the way and for being unyielding and bold. I sat on stage today with you to everyone. I felt like I was supposed to honor you. I just said, you know, you had an opportunity to be, I think, way bigger than Leonardo DiCaprio. You wanted to honor God and please him more than you wanted all the accolades and wealth that could have come along with being a big Hollywood star. And like, that's, we actually need that kind of spirit in the church today, right? It's that same temptation. Yeah. Here's all the baubles and the trinkets and the shiny stuff.
Yeah.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Don't be a threat. Just be really peaceable. And here, I'll give you the world. And so you've been inspiration and encouragement to so many just through the way you lived your life, and appreciate you. Hey, why don't you send out my humble little podcast listeners with a line from our favorite theologian, Gandalf the Grey.
Gandalf the Grey. Okay. Well, thank you, Seth. You're very kind and very encouraging to me. I learned so much listening to you. And it was so cool to be up today teaching with you and Allie Beth Stuckey. You're two people that I'm really grateful to know and I learn a lot from. Let's see. So Gandalf, is it the gray or the white?
He's the Gandalf the white at that point. Yeah,
wait a minute. That's right. He's the same. Okay. Gandalf the white is Gandalf the gray. Okay.
Dude, do we need to read Lord of the Rings together? Do we need to do a book club with Kirk Cameron?
We probably do. That's right. So I love that quote, and I heard you tell me this quote at one point, and I thought, you know, that's exactly right, and I've been sharing it a lot of places. So,
because it answers the question, so what can I do?
Yeah, what can I do?
I'm just Frodo's a mom or dad upset, or kid, right? And I'm confused.
I'm confused. The mom and dad that's saying, what can I do? What can I do? How do I stop all this from coming to my kids? And Gandalf says this. He says, other evils there are that shall come, for even Sauron is himself a servant or emissary. And I had to think about that for a second because I was like, oh yeah. So even the evils that I see are actually coming from an even greater evil beyond him.
That's right.
It's like, holy cow, how are we supposed to deal with that? He said, it is not our task to master all the tides of the world. Oh, okay. He says, but rather to do what is in us for the help of those years wherein we are set. Uprooting the evil in the fields we know, so that those who live after us will have clean earth to till. And what weather they shall have is not ours to rule. And I love that because I was like, that's right. I can't do everything. I can't stop all the evil from coming to my kids. But what I can do is there's a field of jurisdiction that I've been given charge of. Yeah. That's my heart. That's my family. That's my grandkids. That's my place of work, my vote, what I can do. And I can uproot evil by standing for the truth, not rolling over and agreeing with lies. I can do what's right. And in the meantime, I could plant some seeds of truth and goodness and beauty in those fields.
So good.
So that my kids and my grandkids will have cleaner earth to live in and build their lives on. And then when the spiritual winds come, when the political storms hit them, they'll know what to do. Why? Because they listened to dad. They watched grandma deal with the storms in their day and taught them how to do it by their example.
And if we all do that together,
that's how you pass it down.
Build things, the fruit of which you will never taste.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we may never taste it. The pilgrims had no idea that what they did by laying their, coming over that winter and laying their face down in the frozen mud and blowing bubbles in the water, just so that their children could use their backs as stepping stones to get to a better place and build a better world. They had no idea that we would be here today, being able to have a podcast and a big conference and do what we're doing. But that didn't matter to them because they knew that they were doing the next right thing in front of them for the glory of God.
Yeah, amen. It's good, bro. Thank you, Kirk.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for tuning in today. Hope that blessed you, man. Share this with a weak, wimpy, or woke pastor or friend of yours, huh? Encourage them. Rattle them. Shake them out of their reverie with Kirk Cameron, Mr. Kirk. Watchbrave.com. Check that out. What a cool show. Very, very cool. Head on over to iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. Give us a rating and review. Helps us reach more people. YouTube coming after me. Go subscribe at Rumble for if I'm ever digitally assassinated. And if you want to join the White Rose Resistance, catch our movie tour this summer, the 1916 Project book, or become an ally of the fastest growing pro-life organization in America, go to the whiterose.life and join us as an ally. Until next week, I'm Seth Gruber, and this is The Seth Gruber Show.